This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and hello. Welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, your host, and with me is our co-host on the program. He's Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder and the heart and soul behind Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Here's his number, 763-438-1621. Its website is simply rippleconnects.com. And as we kick open the month of August, Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you along with us. And we're looking at the benefits of keeping a long-term career perspective. I'm just curious, Joe McKenzie, where did that particular idea come from, the benefits of keeping a long-term career perspective? What does that really mean?
You know, most of the content that I curate for the New Beginnings listeners is from people. I speak to so many people in different aspects of their career. Many of them have jobs or seeking better jobs or different jobs. And a longer-term career perspective allows us to have that clarity on where we're at now and where we want to go. So often, we may not be in an ideal situation, but we don't have a lot of control over things that are happening around us that allows us to go where we want to go. And that's where having that long-term career perspective helps us get through the day-to-day or the month-to-month. Freddie, I think we've each been there in jobs that we're almost a placeholder in our career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because weren't we vying or building towards something more to our liking or more to our career satisfaction?
I would think that seems to be the big thrust behind it.
Exactly. And so just having that longer-term career perspective may help us with the day-to-day, because we certainly don't want to let the day-to-day impact our decision-making, so we're in constant job-hopping mode. We know that there's limitations in our position. We're in career limiting jobs, right? But maybe that's what is best for us at this moment. But keeping that longer perspective and building towards something that's more to our career satisfaction or our liking, I think is healthy today. Now, Freddie, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, so many companies have changed their business model or how employees work. So what if you don't enjoy working remotely? What if you don't want to be dealing with supply shortages or, you know, on a customer service level, all the things that go on with that type of job? Isn't most of that out of our control right now?
It seems like it's out of our control because you work at the behest of that particular employer or the circumstances which you find yourself. So I guess that would be the question for a lot of folks who may be in the service industry or maybe they're in healthcare. It could be anywhere, mm-hmm. but what are the steps in taking that long view? What does the long view look like, Joe McKenzie?
Well, I think the long view is what you make it. And each of us are on our own unique career paths. So, you know, keeping that proper perspective where you're at now, but focusing on the steps you need to take to get where you want to go, I think is the overall theme here. We've often said, focus on what's in your control, but also have an understanding of the external forces that may be in play here. And that could be the pandemic. It could be just the way we're doing business today. But, you know, working towards something, bettering yourself, or just learning from the experience or situation. Not every negative situation 10 years from now is going to be viewed negative. It could be viewed as a learning opportunity about yourself and how you handle that adversity or what you learned about yourself. So I think building towards something, taking those steps to make sure that you keep in control what you can control. And that could, for somebody, to the next person, it's going to be different, Freddie. Mm-hmm. It may be professional growth. It may be where you want to be taking extra online courses so you're vying for a future spot somewhere else. But that's also embodying the keeping that long-term career perspective, building towards something. And that happens at any age. I don't think anybody just achieves an age and says, I made it. I think everybody from 25 to 65 could be saying that. Do you agree with that? That, hey, they're working towards something different or something more satisfying because our interests change over our career.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, it seems as we continue to get older, and I know there are some people who are in their 20s who are thinking, oh, I'll never get older. But as we get older, as you mentioned, our interests change. The people that we associate ourselves change. We see others getting new opportunities or different opportunities. And sometimes we might think, well, maybe I can do something like that. And all of a sudden, things are changing. So is it tough breaking out of that career-limiting job, Joe McKenzie?
At the moment, it feels that way. And I can speak firsthand. 10 years ago, I was in a limiting nonprofit position where the external forces was the organization I was with could not really bring me on to a different level or go somewhere else internally. And so I did feel limited and I did have to make a change. And I was probably biding my time working towards something bigger, and that became self-employed. So, you know, that was how Ripple Connect started, was some of those things I learned in that career limiting job. I went out and became my own boss. And so I made that change. But at that moment that I was in that limiting position, I wasn't ready to become self-employed, but I did. And that allowed me to get out of that situation and grow. And so I think that certainly many people are in those career limiting jobs, and you can do something about it, but it may not always be at that moment. But again, back to our theme that keeping that longer term perspective of your career, building towards something, and more importantly, focus on what is in your control at that point will allow you to keep a better perspective versus just day to day or week to week in a position.
Indeed. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the co-host on New Beginnings, and we're talking about the benefits of keeping a long term career perspective in sight, especially right now. And yes. Can you tell us about the role that a setback plays in that long-term perspective? There can be some benefits.
There can be. And I think we both have had setbacks in our career that we've learned from, right?
Exactly.
Well, I think it's a very teachable moment for ourselves to learn that this is how we should handle it differently the next time. So if we're going to just view it as a setback versus not... and not look at it as an opportunity to learn something about ourselves or how we handle it different, I think we're underestimating our healing potential or just our bruised ego. I think setbacks allow us to really bring it to another level. At the moment that it happens, no, it's awful. I'll be honest.
Right.
But I do think those setbacks set ourselves up for doing it better or doing it differently, or just learning about ourselves so we can be more successful going forward and not let that happen.
Well, there's a great motivational speaker by the name of Willie Jolly. I believe he's on the East Coast, and he talks about a setback being a setup for a comeback. And I thought, well, what is he smoking? How does that even make any sense? But over time, it seems to have some validity in the way that we live our lives, that we don't see issues as issues, but we see them as an opportunity to improve our performance.
Absolutely. If you take a reflective approach to that setback, you will be back on the path for that comeback, in my opinion. If you don't reflect and you leave it as a negative or something that's a painful point in your career, it will remain a setback. But if you take the time to reflect and analyze what you could have done differently and what you're going to do differently, then you're in comeback mode. Do you agree with that?
I do. And it also talks about how you can focus on what you can control. There are some things that happen to us that we'd rather not have happen, but we have to look at what is it that I can control. And I think that gives us it sets us up, I think, Joe, for a real long-term career.
I believe so. I thought I was going to be in the office equipment industry for 30 plus years until the owner decided to sell. Well, I had no control over that. He had every right to sell his business, and everything that from the year before looked completely different. So do I have any regrets? No, because here I am now doing what I probably was meant to do because of that change I had to make 15 years ago. up to that point, I was a fairly stable career. I, you know, that was the first part of my career, but I don't see that as so much as a setback as a change that was needed and keeping that longer term career perspective. And I remember talking to that HR person when I made that decision to leave that industry. Many of the things that I talked about in 05 and 06, you know, just being doing this, being part of a nonprofit or part of a media or just being, you know, on the PR side or just being that community outreach person is exactly what I'm doing now. So 16 years ago, I had some pretty good insights on what I wanted to do, but it wasn't in that office equipment industry.
You just never know what's going to happen. And we got to leave it right there. But Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And our program continues right now.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today. This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
With each brushstroke on a canvas, an artist creates beauty and form from imagination. That's our point of focus. Through their imagination, an artist's skill captures what they see in the world in their mind's eye. These depictions can stir the soul. With your power of imagination, you can open a world of possibilities. By using your imagination, you can turn what seems impossible into the possible. By being resourceful or creative at work or at home, you can create what you imagine. Your imagination allows you to soar beyond appearances. You can visualize what is possible and bring that into visibility. Your enthusiasm actually expands as you apply your imagination. Use your creative power to explore a new dimension of living through imagination. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, a pointed listening each week at this time. Not long ago, the governor of Minnesota and the lieutenant governor, Peggy Flanagan, Governor Tim Walz, and Commissioner Jan Malcolm of the Minnesota Department of Health talked to Minnesota residents about the Delta variant of the coronavirus. Governor Walz was really adamant in his concerns about beating the virus back so that we can get back to what he calls normal. And Jan Malcolm led the conversations with her review of the state of Minnesota with regard to the virus.
As of yesterday, an average of 25 people each day over the past week have been admitted to the hospital. This is more than double the average number of people admitted each day as recently as the week leading up to July 4th. Over the past 4 weeks, we're seeing a pretty consistent about 12% week-over-week increase in the hospitalization rate. And concerningly, the overall percentage of COVID cases which are ending up needing to be hospitalized in the last 2 months is 9.3% of all those cases, which is more than double the rate of cases being hospitalized that we saw during our highest peak in November and December of 2020, when we were seeing 4.5% of cases needing hospitalization. Adding to this concern, in the most vulnerable zip codes, as measured by the Social Vulnerability Index we've discussed in the past, so in the first quartile, the most vulnerable zip codes, hospitalization rates are increasing even more quickly than the statewide trend. In the first quartile of SVI zip codes, hospital admissions are 72% higher than they were a month ago, compared to the 41% higher statewide rate over the same time period. And unfortunately, we know from past trends that these disparities in severe illness, the hospitalized cases, translate to mortality inequities as well. There were 4 deaths in our latest data report, meaning that we are now at a cumulative total of 7,660 Minnesotans lost to COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. Today, we're here to discuss, and joined by our colleagues at the Minnesota Department of Education, the updated recommendations from the CDC, and that we at the state level are strongly recommending that schools follow that CDC best practice guidance for preventing the spread of COVID-19 in our K-12 schools this fall. These best practice recommendations from the CDC reflect the current state of the pandemic, which is evolving rather quickly, as well as the fundamental importance of in-person learning for our students. Students, families, and K-12 educators are preparing now, of course, for the start of the 21-22 school year. And I don't want to miss saying that we are in a much better place than we were last year, thanks to the millions of Minnesotans who have stepped up to get vaccinated. And that is a critical difference. But it's very clear that we are not done with the pandemic yet. Many Minnesotans remain unprotected, including all of those under age 12. That is a big concern, especially with the emergence of the extremely infectious Delta variant. Given the ongoing pandemic challenge at hand and the importance of giving our students the best opportunity for in-person learning, we really need to use all the tools available to us to prevent the spread. That's why the guidance document we put forth just recently reflects CDC's recommendations for implementing what is called layered prevention strategies. This means using multiple prevention strategies together to provide the best protection. Proactive COVID-19 prevention strategies, not just reacting after it happens, but trying to prevent the spread, is critical to protect people, including students, teachers, and staff who are not fully vaccinated or who have certain medical conditions, especially in areas of moderate to high community transmission. While there are no longer mandates that schools follow this guidance represents the most current science-based best practices for safe in-person learning. These recommendations are designed to support local school boards and school leaders as they are implementing health and safety practices for the upcoming school year, and to help Minnesota students get back in the classroom safely and keep them there. These best practice recommendations provide a framework for local schools to help safeguard in-person learning. Key points of the guidance include these. All people ages 12 years and older should get vaccinated for COVID-19 before returning to in-person school, sports, or other activities to protect themselves and also to protect the people around them who cannot get vaccinated. You can talk to a healthcare provider or find vaccine locations near you by checking the website. All students, teachers, staff, and visitors in school buildings should wear masks indoors, regardless of vaccination status. Again, this was an update that the CDC made just yesterday, based on emerging and accumulating data on the Delta variant. Schools should remain should maintain at least 3 feet of physical distance between students within classrooms whenever that's possible. And when it's not possible to maintain 3 feet of distance between students, it's especially important to layer other prevention strategies. As always, students and teachers and staff should stay home if they are feeling sick and should contact a healthcare provider for testing and care. Students, teachers, and staff who have not been fully vaccinated should stay home if they have had recent close contact with a confirmed case and get tested. Students, teachers, and staff who have been fully vaccinated do not need to stay home if they've had recent close contact with a confirmed case, so long as they remain asymptomatic and do not test positive. CDC also has testing guidance for anyone exposed to a confirmed case. People who are not fully vaccinated and are returning to in-person school, sports, or extracurricular activities and their families should get tested regularly for COVID-19, according to CDC guidance, again, especially as we are seeing increased spread. And schools should encourage ventilation, contact tracing, in combination with isolation and quarantine, hand washing, respiratory etiquette, cleaning and disinfection practices as important added layers of prevention. As we've said many times now, the Delta variant is proving to have an alarming ability to spread more easily. So it's more important than ever that anyone eligible for vaccination get that protection as soon as possible and follow the CDC's guidance for continued masking, distancing, and other prevention strategies to help avoid the widespread illnesses and community impacts we saw during the last school year. These proactive COVID-19 prevention strategies remain critical to protect people, again, including students, teachers, and staff who are not fully vaccinated or who have certain medical conditions. At this time, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is the only one of the three vaccines that has been authorized for use by people ages 12 and older. And data from the Pfizer vaccine studies show that the vaccine is safe and effective for this age group. CDC shared some really critical data yesterday, along with issuing their new guidance. If you get vaccinated, your risk of getting infected by the SARS-CoV-2 virus is 3.5 times lower than if you are not vaccinated. But your risk of getting seriously ill from COVID is over 8 times lower. And your risk of hospitalization or death is 25 times lower than if you are not vaccinated. Pretty good odds. There are many, many options in Minnesota to get vaccinated. For more information on how to do that, visit vaccines.gov or talk to your healthcare provider. We do have that map, find vaccine locations still on our website. This allows you to see which providers are offering which COVID-19 vaccines. And of course, you can also make a COVID-19 vaccine appointment or walk in at many pharmacies, making appointments at clinics and hospitals, signing up for events sponsored by local public health departments or community groups near you. Our kids deserve a worry-free, safe, and fun fall back in the classroom, including participating in sports and doing activities with friends. And taking easy preventive measures like getting vaccinated will help ensure that they can do just that and be kids again. And now I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Commissioner Mueller and ask her to share her thoughts on the CDC guidance and what we have rolled out together today.
If you'd like more information, you can go to mdh.gov for the latest on the coronavirus and other issues confronting the state of Minnesota. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
Elizabeth Evo, Vaccine Outreach Director for Minnesota's Vaccine Response Team, says there are still precautions we should take even if you're vaccinated.
Even if you've been fully vaccinated, you should still keep taking precautions in public places like restaurants or gyms by wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, avoiding crowds and poorly ventilated areas, covering your coughs and sneezes, and washing your hands often.
This message from KMOJ and the Minnesota Department of Health. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone. We're having a great time this weekend on New Beginnings. And now joining us is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Jay Hapala. A lot of people know you, Jay, because you talk about scams and protecting ourselves and protecting our money. But we're not going to talk about scams this week. Good morning and welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much, Freddie. One of the things about AARP is that our work starts with our members. So we're listening to our members. And guess what? People over the age of 50, they have a lot of interests. They have many different diverse concerns. So whether it's talking about fraud and how people can protect their money, or how we can talk about what kind of great improvements and progress are being made in local communities, that's where AARP is.
And we'll talk about money this week, but let's talk about it from a different perspective, about grants and community challenge grants. What's going on with AARP and how you're bringing all that together to help our communities?
So one of our very important programs at AARP is what we call livable communities. And it starts with a problem. And that problem is most people expect to be able to live in their home and in their neighborhood until the end of their life. But in reality, a lot of these places aren't going to work for them forever. So maybe the housing isn't built for aging and it's not accessible or it isn't affordable. It could be the transportation and public places aren't going to be safe and accessible as people get older. And, you know, we have a lot of problems with how older people are not included and many times even discriminated against in civic life and with their jobs and in the marketplace. And so that's why AARP has stepped up with local leaders and residents to help improve the places where our people live, where our 50-plus members and all older adults live, make these places more suitable for the aging population. And, you know, all of us are going to be there someday if we're lucky. Mm-hmm. So we do this research. We make it available for free. We host free conferences. And we run a program called our Network of Age-Friendly Communities. And that's a more practical type program that helps local leaders and residents implement and replicate improvements in their communities. So we're doing all that work. And just this week, we announced another record year for our Community Challenge Grant Program. And so six of these grants are coming to Minnesota. So this is the program's fifth year, and we're going to distribute $3.2 million to about 250 projects across the country, six in Minnesota. These are quick action projects that are designed to make improvements, but also spark long-term change in these communities. Mm-hmm. So they make these immediate improvements and promote that change long-term.
So what's an example of what cities are doing, especially here in Minnesota, to promote change?
Yeah, I'll talk about the projects that are here in the Twin Cities. So the city of Brooklyn Park, they applied to purchase and will utilize these temporary outdoor pathways. So I try to think it's almost like if you went to the skating rink in the winter, they got those plastic mats so you don't, you know, screw up your ice skates. Mm-hmm. But these are the type of mats you can use in the summertime. So you put them over the rocky ground or the park pathway so that people who use a wheelchair or just need a flatter surface to walk on can go participate in the festivals and the concerts in the park there in Brooklyn Park. The city of Shakopee, they're going to add benches and other amenities to their community gardens that are there in Shakopee. And also these community gardens, they have a partnership with the local food shelf. So the more food they grow, the more fresh food people at the food shelf can get. And then the third one I'll highlight for now is that St. Anthony Park Community Council is going to work with St. Paul Public Works to enhance the pedestrian facilities. So that means like the crosswalks and the sidewalks in this neighborhood, and they're going to include the work of local artists in the renovations that they're making. So those are the ones in the cities, and then elsewhere in the state, like in Rochester and up north of St. Cloud, mm-hmm. and up in Hibbing, they're working on their parks and their transit system, and they're in Hibbing, they're going to fix up the farmers market up there.
Wow, a lot of great things going on in the state, and AARP is at the helm of it. How can we get more information about the Livable Cities Grant and how different parties who are interested can participate?
Yeah, thanks, Freddie. We're very proud of this work. And anyone who wants to learn more, whether it's about these projects that are going on right now in Minnesota, or we expect to be able to offer these grants again next year in the spring, they can call me directly. So my number is 651-726-5654.
All right. That's Jay Hapala, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement on New Beginnings. Thanks for being with us, Jay.
Thanks again, Freddie.
All right. And New Beginnings continues right now.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning and hi again, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. Welcome back to New Beginnings. And now we turn our attention to public housing with the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And Kitty Harris is the property manager at the Cora McCorvey. It's a wonderful facility if you've never been there. And I'm sure Kitty will tell you about it. All you have to do is ask or smile, and she'll share with you all the great aspects of that center. If you'd like to reach them directly, it's at 612-344-2201. And you've got a big community meeting happening this week, Kitty Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be with you. And yes, so MPHA has some, we are a moving to work agency. We're one of 39 housing authorities in the United States to be moving to work. And basically what that means is that this program allows the housing authority flexibility to implement and design strategies for our low-income families around affordable housing and other needed things. And so every year we host informational meetings to explain our upcoming plans and what we will be submitting to HUD. And so we will be having a meeting on August the 9th over at our Horn Towers property, which is located at 3121 Pillsbury Avenue South. Mm-hmm. And then on August the 10th, we'll be having an evening Zoom virtual event for people that are not able to make it in the daytime. And then August the 11th over at Cora McCorvey from 3 to 5 p.m., we will be hosting another informational meeting for the community. So we want to make sure that we have at least multiple opportunities for the public to hear what's going on for our upcoming plans.
Can you delve a little bit more into what really moving to work actually means and how it impacts the people who are listening to you this morning?
So basically what the plan does is MVHA lays out its design for not only the rehabs of our property, our maintenance plans, our programming, community initiatives. We have lots of programs where we have project-based vouchers or project-based assistance. We have community supportive services. So this is an extensive plan that lays out what the agency plans to do with the dollars that are received from HUD for the upcoming year for those various community initiatives and capital improvement plans on our different properties.
Interesting. Everybody, Kitty Harris with us. And those meetings, the first of three happens on August 9th.
Yes, the first of three happens on August 9th at 10 a.m. And that's going to be over south at Horn Towers, 3121 Pillsbury Avenue South. Then August 10th will be a virtual Zoom event. And people can get information on how to log onto that Zoom at nphaonline.org. We will also have Somali, Oromo, and Aramic interpretation available for all of our meetings. And then that last meeting will be August the 11th from 3 to 5 at Cora McCorvey, which is 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis.
I know a lot of people listening would love to have a say. So do you need to register? And if we do, how do we go about that?
You don't need to register. You can just come in and attend those meetings, and then MPHA will actually have its final board meeting and public hearing for this plan on Wednesday, August the 25th, again at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and that meeting will be at 1:30 p.m. So we do allow for public comment. Our entire plan is posted, again, on our website, nphaonline.org. People can read it in multiple languages and come to any of these informational with questions and public comments before we finalize this plan and submit it to the House, to HUD and D.C.
Final question. I know we're about out of time. How often does this type of public input come around where people can give their ideas about this master plan?
So this happens every August. MPHA does this every August. But we have our board meetings for other general questions and concerns that are every month, the third Wednesday of the month, where people can also come in and have questions and comments and time with our MPHA board. But this specific plan that we submit to HUD on an annual basis is every August.
every August. Kitty Harris, I can't thank you enough for being with us, property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, a point at listening each week at this time. Not long ago, the governor of Minnesota and the lieutenant governor, Peggy Flanagan, talked to Minnesota residents about the Delta variant of the coronavirus. Governor Walz, in addressing Minnesotans, was really adamant about getting back to our new normal.
Just like all of you, we're doing what you're doing. We're following this. We got the heads up. We understand that the president's going to be making a major announcement on Thursday around COVID-19. We're tracking this very closely. We have followed CDC guidance. We've followed our healthcare experts. We've looked at our modeling, and we think in Minnesota we put together a testing, a tracing, a mitigation, and a vaccination plan that helped us be in an incredibly strong spot. At this point in time, what I'm still telling people, when I said a year ago the only vaccine we had against this was social distancing, closing businesses, and masking, that is no longer true. We have the vaccine. And all of the angst around what's going to happen, what are we going to do with masking, all this, let's just be very clear. We control our destiny 100%. While Minnesotan is in those top 15 states of vaccination, we still have pockets that are unvaccinated. So what I could tell you, Theo, what I'm still going to push is we've got 5 weeks before school starts. We're having deep conversations every day, especially around school and looking at events that are coming. And I am still of the belief that if we can push that vaccination rate up, and again, we have enough vaccines at our disposal to vaccinate 100% of Minnesotans. That is available. That is not the issue. The issue is now getting folks in. So we'll track what the CDC recommends. We'll look carefully at what that means. I know the Lieutenant Governor just returned with her little one and maybe wants to say something. I am concerned what I'm hearing a lot about are those under 12. So when they talk about that we are 54% of our entire population is vaccinated, they're adding all of our children into that. They can't get vaccinated yet. And so that is an issue. I don't
think of it. So we just went on a little vacation with our kiddo, and we were all messed up. And I think, my 8-year-old is my top priority. And I know for Minnesota parents across the state as well, nothing really changes for us. We've been masking when we are in public because she can't get vaccinated, and we'll continue to do that. And so for parents over, for kids who are under the age of 12, I would just encourage you to keep following those best practices to keep your kiddos safe. And not much will change for our family. We are eager for our daughter to be able to get vaccinated. I know with, thousands of other parents across the state. But we're going to follow those guidelines.
So we'll watch what comes out this afternoon on more of this guidance. And I think what you can expect is we'll continue, as we always have, try and communicate on a regular basis with Minnesotans, try and use that data that's out there. We're in a much different place than we were last year. But again, I'm getting reports every day, and our test positivity rate, one of the lowest in the country, has gone up from 0.9 to 3.5% as of today. Over the last 3 days, we had about 1,074 cases. And again, I remind folks, the Delta variant is 100 times more contagious than the one that was circulating last year. So,
do you feel comfortable with a full-on state fair next year?
Well, I know I want it, and I want to follow the science. I've stood up here and delivered really bad news, and I'm a little irritated. Get the vaccine. We want to do these things. That is the fix in this. I'm going to continue to beat my head every way I can to do this. But my responsibility is to watch carefully. We certainly proved that we will not do anything to risk Minnesotans' health and safety, and trying to balance that around the economic freedoms and the personal freedoms that make life worth living. I mean, I the state fair was the brass ring over the last 18 months to try and get to, and we're so close. So we'll track it carefully. I do feel confident now we can do this. I simply, again, encourage all of you and all the listeners and all the readers, talk to your friends. There's a change. We're seeing this, that we're seeing vaccination rates increase in places like Arkansas and Missouri, because quite honestly, Springfield, Missouri's hospitals are more overrun than they've been at any other time. And that is a reality that could come. Here in Minnesota, We're much further along, but we still have pockets. So I think, you know, in all candidness, we're watching this one very closely along with school. We think that's the point. We basically got 5 weeks that we can get an awful lot done. 5 weeks is the time you need to, if you do the Pfizer, Moderna, to get fully vaccinated. We can punch that number up, and we're not talking about all that massive bunch. If we can punch that number up above 80%, it makes all the difference. So we'll keep monitoring it. We'll watch closely. We're working with our partners. As you've seen, individual private entities like the Mayo Clinic, the Veterans Affairs Hospital, the two best hospitals in the country are the Minneapolis VA and Mayo, maybe, and both of them made the decision that they want all of their employees vaccinated back by September 17th. So I think those types of decisions will probably help move us. But we're watching.
Quite a few strong statements from the leaders of the state of Minnesota. If you'd like more information, you can go to mdh.gov for the latest on the coronavirus and other issues confronting the state of Minnesota. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Unity Worldwide Ministries has hired consultants to help them define a new strategy for our movement, that our member ministries are invited to align with rather than required. In the past couple of decades, there have been a number of attempts by Unity Worldwide Ministries to say, okay, if you're a Unity ministry, you're going to do A, B, C, period. Now, being free thinkers in Unity, that was not very popular. And there was a lot of pushback. And so now they've decided to take a new approach and say, collectively, in Unity, we believe A, B, and C is important. And we invite every member ministry to freely align with that. Not required, but freely choose to come into alignment in that. It's somewhat related to the branding program. Some of you remember that a number of years ago, and that's actually how Unity South, which is our legal name, always has been, became Unity South Twin Cities. Because the branding program from Unity headquarters said, take Unity, now add a locator. So people in the world know where you are. Our friends in Golden Valley, Christ Church became Unity Minneapolis. We became Unity Twin Cities, which I'm very proud of those of you that made that possible, because I think it was very smart. We could have been Unity Bloomington, but Twin Cities situated us in a much greater area of the Twin Cities, instead of limiting, oh, that's just the church in Bloomington, even though Bloomington's wonderful, but giving us a bigger sense of our presence. So I thank some of you in this very room that worked on that project and were smart enough and creative enough to give us that locator of Twin Cities. Now, I would be happy in the coming weeks to answer, to my ability, any questions any of you want to bring to me individually about what's going on in the greater Unity movement, or perhaps ideas or concerns that you would want me to relay to Unity Worldwide Ministries. But we don't have enough time for that today. And I want us to do something, I believe, of significance. Your board of directors and me met Friday night and all day Saturday. I'm pleased some of you are here this morning, some of the board members, because I wouldn't blame you if you needed to sleep in the rest of the weekend. We did a lot of work visualizing what is Unity South? What can we do better? What do we need to adjust? What are good ideas that we haven't even attempted yet? How do we broaden our reach? How do we draw more people into our family? Many such ideas. And we worked on visioning and creating beautifully crafted, I wish I could claim credit, but I can't, beautifully crafted statements about different aspects of our ministry so that all of you would be able to align with these clear statements of what we're about. And of course, we can always build on them further. But what I want to do now for our time of meditation is to turn within, because each one of you that call Unity South home have a role to play. You can make a difference. I was so grateful our daily word today had that wonderful, clear affirmation. I do what is mine to do, and I release the rest. Because as your board well knows, they and our volunteers, even me, can't do it all. So helping us all to see what is our gift to share, what is our role or our part to play in this Unity South community, and then the ability to let go of things that other people can do better than we ourselves, to give more people in our Unity South family an opportunity to step up and give their gift. So let's begin. I invite you to close your eyes if you choose as we turn within and take a little visioning journey. Visioning goes back to the very essence and beginning of our unity movement. The third of our five principles says, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Charles Fillmore said, all things begin in mind. You hold an idea as a seed thought. It begins to grow within you until you take action in the outer world to bring that idea, that truth, into form and expression to benefit your life and others. Thoreau said it beautifully, encouraging you to walk confidently in the direction of your dreams. Charles Fillmore advised his listeners, if you want more peace, greater prosperity, greater vitality in your life, then do the things that make for peace, prosperity, vitality. Catch your dream and walk consistently toward it. The great teacher, very popular in Unity, Emmett Fox, taught that you first create a mental equivalent in mind before the outcome can express. You see it inwardly and let it grow. And because I like Broadway lyrics, I couldn't help but think of South Pacific. Talk about the things you'd like to do. You got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? So we're going to catch that. In our Unity teachings, a powerful creative tool for visioning is contained in the 12 power model. Again, earlier members of our church blessed us with these windows as a constant reminder of the 12 powers. So today, in this meditation, I invite you to choose from this palette of powers, just three: faith, imagination, and order. We begin by faith.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.